We ready? All right. All right, 2 p.m. on the 11th. We're talking animal control with Sue McCaskey. So we got a request for an additional position. My suggestion would be let's go ahead and go through your budget request, set aside the position. We'll talk about that at the end, if that's okay with everybody.
That would be
Let's start with revenues.
Okay.
But you want to say it? You want to talk about it, animal control, before we get going? Or
no, that's fine. I'm good with whatever.
Friends of Animals, investments. You got in here $500. I think that's because you expect to spend some of that money, but you've already brought in $773 so far this year on investments. Looks to me like we're going to do better than $1,000 on a re-estimated for this year. Right? You're not spending anything right away. You're going to spend money when we do something.
Right. And that was thinking that we were going to, I was going to be spending that money.
So I'm suggesting that the re-estimated for FY18 is more like $1,400, Lisa.
Okay. Okay, that would be even over what she's got now. I know she's at $773 here.
Right.
Okay.
That's half a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you're saying is we're unlikely to tap into that account until after June of this year, which would then yield, hopefully, that
minimum.
Yeah, so I took the 773 and doubled it, which is, almost 1,600, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I reduced it to 1,400. Okay. I said that's a reasonable place for us to be, just as we re-estimate. Not a big deal, but we work really hard to try to know what's happened. And then I look at, for next year, I really believe we're going to do better than 500. I mean, just, I think the number to plug in there is more like 1,000, and we'll see where we end up.
Okay.
Anybody have any problem with that?
No,
I didn't have.
She has good luck in generating.
Absolutely.
And then I
have support. And
Sue's ultra-conservative, and we generally do better than Sue thinks we're going to do.
Just as a side note, we did for next year split out the local government payments, which is the city animal control fee contracts.
Right, good.
And just the normal animal control fees. Those have always been just deposited into the same account.
Yep.
But I think since they are city contracts, I think they need to be in our own local government payments. And I think Sue's going to start doing that immediately, aren't you?
Yep. Yep.
Good. So really what we're looking at is instead of being 10.5, it's really 12.5. We just split it out.
Compared to the previous
year. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good there?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Donation account. You've already brought in $18,400 this year. You think donations are just going to stop?
I don't know. I just, I worry about this one. I just do. I worry about the economy when the economy is good, people are more generous.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me.
You brought in $34,000 in 2017. You're on pace to bring in $37,000 this year.
Can I make a comment?
Go ahead.
It was a fairly large December, mm-hmm. which kind of threw that up, I would say.
How large
in
December?
Like 9,000.
Oh, I think it's been over that now.
I mean, for the
donation?
I was thinking you got just like in December alone, there was 9,000. So like half that 18,000 came in December.
Okay.
In one month. So I don't know that it's a true
6 months. Yeah, but if you go 9,000 divided by the 6 months, you're still looking at what, $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Right? And at $1,500 a month, even if you don't have another big month, right? You're still $27,000 for this year.
Mm-hmm.
I probably share Sue's concern a little bit based on our construction schedule. I know we still are looking at plans, so we haven't launched the bid out yet, but can we anticipate that the shelter will be closed to the public for a few weeks at least with the remodel?
I'm hoping not.
Okay, so then that, all right, then I see.
We're hoping to adjust things so we can still accommodate people coming in.
Okay. That was my concern, that if we were closed and people can't come to even visit the animals or the volunteers or whatever.
Yeah, we're hopeful that we could just stay open the whole time.
So how about 25 and 25 is my suggestion.
Oh,
I still think
boy.
25 light.
Okay. I worry about this.
You were 34.
I know.
There's no penalty.
I know, but
we're
just
trying to figure it out.
I've got it
at $25,000 for FY 18, and I've got it at $25,000 for FY 19.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Absolutely. And like Lisa says, it's the next pages that we're going to hold you to pretty close.
Yep.
Everybody good on revenues, or we need to talk about it anymore?
Other than, I think you will do really well at 25, so when you work hard.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, we're not going to talk about any of the employee stuff, so that's all the way down to employee insurances. Same deal as previous year. Go ahead.
You may want to talk about overtime at some point, but we don't have to do it right now. I'm on top position. If the position is approved or not approved, maybe we need to put more in.
Overtime.
So okay. That's the only.
Well, let's talk about it right now.
I want to have up there.
Yeah, let's talk about it right now.
Well, we're re-estimating this year. We estimated it to $2,500 or $1,500 right now for overtime. So, is $500 enough? I mean,
No.
The way you're going.
Can you explain what the overtime? I mean, I noticed that you had one employee that had quite a few more hours. Was there something specific that she got some overtime? I thought there was.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of times it's after hour calls. Sometimes it's we can't walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we close at 4, you can't just say you have to leave. I mean, so some of it is that. But some people will take home animals to foster. And when they're taking, you know, an hour a day to do that, like orphan kittens that we can't do or keep at the shelter, that's where some of that comes from. So, and there's other instances, too. There's, like, if we have a transport that we have to make for an animal or somebody's coming to get one from us, we have to come in on the weekends, and really just calls in general. I mean,
you're saying your calls are up.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to see what structurally has changed all that.
Well, one thing is because 5 years ago, we didn't have the traffic that we have now. We had traffic, but it wasn't like it is now, you know. We're getting, because of Facebook and social media, we're getting a lot of people driving from Wisconsin or driving from Kansas City. I mean, but they're coming, more people are coming into our shelter. And so, consequently, that leads to, like, things like we have classrooms, like, at Christmas time that want us to go to the classrooms and talk to the kids, you know, about animals, and then they want to give us donations in return. And, you know, it's just, we have more people coming in. This year we had, the most cats we'd ever had was 165. This year we got up to 194. I'm happy to say that number is, because we've had a lot of adoptions. But in that time period, when you're dealing with long-term employees who now have vacation, and of course I expect them to use it, I want them to use it, and sick leave and everything. We just, you know, I mean, the only thing I can think of to do other than that, the cities, I would say, are a little bit more demanding now. You know, they, you know, I'll use Roland as an example. I mean, you know, I don't know if this is the place for it, but I mean, we're having a hard time with Roland in the contract, let's put it that way, because they're wanting to take their animals out to the country. They're not willing to help us. If we get a call and we say to them, could you do this so that you can monitor it? They're not willing to do that. It's just the cooperation level. So we're making more phone calls to places. I mean, we're trying to keep everything in line so we go home at night. We know that we've done everything we needed to do. And there's a lot more phone correspondence. People don't care if they got their dog from, you know, the Animal Rescue League in Ankeny. They call us. People don't care if, you know, they live in another county. They want us to take care of it. Why? Because we have a good reputation. And so with that reputation, unfortunately, has made us bigger and larger than I ever thought we'd be.
And I think that the trend, some of what Sue's saying here is just not to Story County Animal Shelter. This is a trend. It's an expectation that we talked about almost a year ago when starting looking at the animal control contracts and animal control, is that some people are having a great higher expectation in how we respond on companion animals.
And the public in general is having a higher expectation from us. You know we aren't the Animal Rescue League, but we have to explain that to them. I guess that's the best way to put it. You know, I've thought of ways. I mean, there's certain things we could cut out. You know, I hate to cut the classrooms out. I hate to cut 4-H groups out. I hate to do that stuff because that's kind of the future coming at us right there. And I want that involvement with kids. You know, we could. And this opportunity would also give us more flexibility to have Saturday hours, which we would really like to have, because we can't, you know, like today Anna didn't come in because of the weather, but all the other 3 days this week, I've had to let people go because they've worked the weekends or are going to work the weekends. So between vacations and sick leave and everything else, sometimes we're down to like 2 people. And
but the number of hours in a day hasn't changed. Number of staff members hasn't changed. Amount of vacation really hasn't changed. But yet all of a sudden we've gone from using no overtime to starting to really ramp up the overtime. And it sounds to me like we might have some mission creep going on here. I'm not sure that we're real clear. I'm not sure that any of us are real clear. This isn't something just for you. I'm not sure we're real clear on what the expectations and mission of animal control is. Because I'm hearing all these things, the great classroom groups, that's super. But for me, I believe that animal control was created in Story County, and rightly created as it is in Story County, in order to take care of the animals. We're not intended to be a storehouse for animals. We're not intended to educate the public on animals. I don't believe we might need to have this conversation because I'm starting to feel this thing get away. You just said this thing has grown beyond anything you could have dreamed of, anything you could have seen, and it doesn't feel like right now that we're handling it real well. We're kind of running in 18 different directions. And where it concerns me is when I start to see budgets that have this creep in them where we're starting to spend money that I'm not sure are going toward what we're trying to get done, I start to get really concerned.
I guess one thing just came to my mind a few months ago about why it's important for the animal shelter to project forward. It's a positive image that is projected on it forward for all of us. But also, we provide, Sue mentioned that, you know, the role in contract. We provide services there. And yet, if we don't educate the next generation, or find some way to help educate the next generation, animal control services will continue to grow. We won't have to deal with it. Okay, but there's also, I noticed that there was a Roland elementary school class that went ahead and had a fund drive for the Ames Animal Shelter. And that's unfortunate because we're providing their animal control services. So part of this, as Sue and her staff are delivering the services, is an opportunity to not only help convey information about animals and the proper treatment, it also can be an opportunity for next year. Maybe those kids could have that fund drive and the residents of Roland could help contribute to the animal care account, help contribute to us taking care of the animals. So from that standpoint, we always have to, I think, balance that. It's about work. Expectations versus the education, and what is the return back?
And I think that's really fair. But keep in mind the numbers you're talking about. You're talking about spending $500,000. And you're talking about, we were just debating whether we're going to bring in $20,000 or $25,000. So this classroom in Roland decides to use us as their donation account, and great, we get $750. Mm-hmm. We're spending $500,000. And so this idea that we should be doing something because it impacts our donations doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me is What does animal control for Story County need to do? What service does it need to provide? We're spending tax dollars to do that. I think by any measure, Story County goes way above and beyond. I mean, I think this is a complete credit to you and your years of service. Story County goes beyond any other county in Iowa in what we do and what we provide for a county-based animal shelter. That's not a critique of ARL or anybody like that, but you look at county-operated animal shelters. There is nobody else in Iowa that I know of, maybe you know, there's nobody else in Iowa that does what we do.
I think the most applicable comparison, if we want to go out and really take a look at some of those operations, which has been discussed. I know Deb and I were talking about it. Mike calls one way, and Deb, you know, Sue did it another way. All right. I think we need to look at the Central Iowa area, or we need to start looking at some comparably sized counties. In a county of 16,000 people total, the residents are more likely to take care of animal control themselves. They're more likely to take in that stray animal or see it in a good place. There are private rescues out there. So when you start to get, I think that's what we need to do, is make sure we're comparing life-size counties and life-size.
That's fine with me. If you want to pull Polk, Johnson, Blackhawk, Pottawatomie, Blueberry, great, pull them. I'm telling you, none of them. I'm talking county in-house. I'm not talking about a regional. I'm talking about in-house county. Nobody does what we do.
And so when we have the 194 cats, mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear there were more adoptions.
Lots more, yeah.
Okay, super. Okay. So, and we've been tracking inventory quarterly right now, which I think is probably appropriate, given that it takes time to track the inventory, too. Okay. There's been discussions about activating a volunteer program, bringing that up to help with some of those care activities and the public interactions. Okay. So all of that is a positive move forward. Now back to needing the additional staff person. You know, you've got Rufus and you've got many dogs, and you know, they require a certain level of care, regardless of if, you know, we've got one person or we've got six people, it's just how long it takes that one person to go. So I did look at the fact of the adding of one person. I took a look at it being somewhere between $10 and $13 an hour. Is that kind of where the calculation was?
It's like $13.54.
Okay, like so between $13 and $14.
So I did once again look at this in helping to provide the mission without us having to look at what would be the critical. And I think a backward way to go when you say mission creep is, I mean, looking at if we can't care for the animals on a minimum level of care and keep them adoptable, then the alternative then becomes to having to look at euthanizing some animals for strictly longevity in the shelter. And I don't know that's something that most residents would be interested in. So let's look at that from that standpoint. For the $13.24 an hour plus the benefits, okay. So, but have we, if we do that and we start euthanizing animals, are we in fact doing what most residents of the county really have an expectation for? Or would they prefer that we spend this $27,000 plus the benefits? So to go ahead and provide more robust services.
Yeah, I mean, the couple. So we're going to talk about position. Couple of problems that I have. One, while I really appreciate the letter and appreciate your feelings on this, Sue, this doesn't go anywhere close for me to supplying the metrics of an hour by hour look at what's needed and why it's needed. I'm one of those that I believe for a while that we needed some help out in animal control, but I think we need help more from a clerical basis. I think we need more administrative help to free you guys up to do what you do. My pushback on the overtime was simply that nothing substantively has really changed over the last, I mean, since you moved into that building. other than you took over a little more space, and we seem to be taking in more animals and caring for them longer, and whether we euthanize or whatever we do, it seems to me that there's got to be some kind of limit that's acceptable. And you say you don't think the people of Story County would like the idea of us euthanizing. I don't think people of Story County would like the idea that we're maintaining 200 cats on any given moment. And that's a conversation that we can sure have, but I look at the request for the position and I see two things. One, it doesn't have any empirical data that it tells me a lot of feelings, a lot of, you know, what you think needs to happen, what you'd like to do, but I ask for a 90-day study of where time's being spent and what's needed, and I didn't see that coming out of here. And like I say, I firmly believe, and I'll look to Deb and Alyssa, because you guys have both looked at this, I firmly believe, or I could absolutely be convinced that we need extra staffing out there. I think it's an administrative position that's there to answer the phone at 8 in the morning, that's inputting all the information we need, that's tracking the dollars and cents that are coming, some of the places that we've had trouble to over the last couple of years, that's doing all those things that free you and your staff up to do what you do so well, which is care for the animals. And let's just underscore this. I think we all agree that our job is to get animals out the door into a good situation as fast as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. And if we can take care of the administrative side of things, so we're talking about caring for animals in our care, we want them to not be in our care. We want to be empty.
Right.
And I think we've got some administrative issues that you're a lot closer to winning me over on administrative than you are at throwing more manpower at a situation that I think is getting out of our control right now. And so, Devin, listen, you guys have dug into this some. I don't know how much. What's your feelings?
Well, we met with Sue on a couple occasions and talked about the staffing needs in the animal control department. And I think it's fair to say we've just seen a significant increase in animals in the last year, which results in an increase of cleaning and caring for them, walking the dogs, feeding, all of those things. And kind of digging in on what's needed, we did land on an administrative assistant position. And that would then be a support function for the entire department, not just for Sue, but for the staff as well. Because there's a list of extra kinds of things that need to be done on a regular basis that she had staff starting to work on about a year ago. You had a list, and right. They had to initial
They initialed off. Whatever they had done extra above and beyond what they normally do.
Exactly. It's within their job description.
Right,
so
right.
Nothing, you know, not added responsibilities.
No.
So we want to be clear on that. And, you know, in the last 6 months, because of the ramp up of additional animals, those kinds of things have kind of been set aside. Fixing traps, you know, doing the deep kinds of cleaning that needs to be done not only in the cages and the animal rooms, but in the public area. Just those kinds of things that had to be set aside because the demand and the focus on the animals is so great. And so we started talking about, you know, what could be done to help free up staff time so they can focus on those things and yet the other work can be done, and looking at expansion of hours, because I think that's going to be another key point in getting animals out the door.
Right.
You know, and I'm even going to step out of them and say, you know, maybe we can even look at some Saturday morning hours or something. I mean, just being available to the public when they're ready to step in and take a look at an animal. And one of the things that Sue voiced as a concern is right now with the kennel attendants, when they're done cleaning, which is primarily done in the morning, they come in towards the front and they help with the public. Somebody comes in, they want to walk a dog, they want to go back and look at a cat, and then that attendant is following that person through the process. So if that person ends up wanting to adopt the animal, the attendant takes the application, calls around, makes the verifications of the information on the application, and so forth. And what we were suggesting was, an administrative assistant could do all of that paperwork. They could do the application, they could verify, but then the attendant is going to be the one to talk to the person about, here's the care for this animal, here's kind of their history, here's what you need to know as you're getting ready to adopt. So it could be kind of a casework or a case management type of system that's put into place, but the administrative, the desk work, can all be done by somebody differently, but yet the care of the animal and responding to the public's request on that particular animal is still done by that kennel attendant. So, I mean, that's where we kind of came down. I think, you know, administratively, maybe we could turn applications around a lot quicker to get the animals out the door. You know, the administrative assistant could help with the thank yous that need to be done. Answering the phone, staying even a little bit later, maybe staying open till 5, but at least taking those phone calls so messages don't stack up. Those are just the kinds of things that we had talked about. And
I don't think so. We just had a little bit of, you know, when we were in our meetings with Sue, we had, you know, we're not in it, so we're outside looking in at what could possibly help that. One thing I do want to circle back on is the overtime and you know, Sue, when I look at whether when I do an analysis of whether the department needs staff, I look at the overtime hours
right.
that are worked, and it has gone up. What I don't know is, did you have employees choose overtime instead of comp time?
Yes,
a little bit.
That,
so that could be part of the cost.
Well, they could have been working.
Yeah. So they could have been working the last couple of years, but they were putting it in a comp bank instead of actually being paid those wages. The other thing, the call outs. I like to know, you know, how many your animal control officer had 16 hours of overtime for the last calendar year. So. I'm assuming those are call-outs?
Those are call-outs, okay. And then what happens is if it doesn't fall where it's like on a Saturday where we've already turned in our timesheet, you know, with the pay schedule, then I always try to have people pay whenever they work, take time off, either the week of when they're, you know, when they've gone over or, I mean, overtime's always the last resort. But I also know I can't tell them not to sign the overtime on their, you know.
But looking at the number of hours, I don't think, except for your one animal shelter attendant that did some fostering, had 51 hours in the calendar year, the numbers aren't outrageous. 16 hours of overtime in a calendar year is not excessive.
No, because we're switching it out during the week.
No,
yeah, so we don't
no,
have
I
that
know.
Overtime.
The other thing that I don't think I saw, I went through the letter. Do you, you know, the opening the shelter a little bit later than your normal time? Were you able to figure out how many days that you've been unable to open at the normal operating, you know, the normal opening hours?
It's usually the day after a holiday, you know, when we've had minimal care for the animals, walking, feeding, medicating, but not much cleaning. And so, I mean, it maybe happens. Probably maybe once a month.
Okay.
You know, it's not a ton, and we don't like to have to do it, but, you know, having a license with the our Department of Agriculture, we have certain standards that we have to meet, too, and we don't, you know, we don't want people coming in if the shelter's not ready to open. And, you know, as for the attendance, I wanted to kind of break in on a couple things here. As a liability issue, which I've seen in other shelters, I like when a person comes in to look at animals, a lot of shelters just say, they're back there, you're on your own, okay? Well, the unfortunate part of that is if somebody does exactly what we tell them not to do, which is don't put your hands in the dog cages, you know, don't do this and don't do that, and they do it, then they're going to come back. And Ames had already experienced this. Somebody put a lawsuit against Ames. So now when we have people come in, you know, we don't have, I mean, it's not that there's always one person for every person that comes in. But, I mean, if we have three or four different groups of people in the cat room, we always have somebody in there. But if we have one person in the cat room, we always have somebody in there. Just because of liability reasons, you know, at the other shelter, we had, like, three different animals stolen one time because, you know, we just weren't right there. I mean, they were kittens, and then they just walked out the door. But, I mean, I try to think of liability issues, too, you know, as far as I don't want somebody to say that dog attacked me when they did exactly what we told them not to. And so, you know, that's part of that. The other thing I wanted to say is, as for adopting the animals out, believe it or not, it's way cheaper. With the assistance we get from Iowa State and everything, it is way cheaper for us to adopt out than it is to euthanize. Because euthanasia now, if you go to a vet and have a 70-pound dog cremated, you know, that's to get rid of the body, it's like $125. And that's not counting the euthanasia fluid or, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, I want to make these points so you kind of understand where I'm coming from, even though I'm really bad at spelling things out because it's like I already know it. So I'm, you know, but so it's actually cheaper to adopt than it is to euthanize. And, you know, I know I can't count the times, even in the last year, where people will call and or when they're adopting something, they'll say, are you guys a no-kill shelter? Well, by Humane Society of the United States standards, we are, because we have over a 90% adoption rate. Okay. And when we tell them that, well, essentially by that standard, we are. We euthanize if we have to, you know, but it's not something we just go through and pick out 10 animals in a day and say, today's your day. I guess we are a no-kill and people like that. And I think that's why we get this, I think that's why we get the support we get. I honestly do. I think when we started becoming, when I first started, we had less than a 50% adoption rate. It was probably more closer to 35 to 40%. Okay. I saw wonderful animals, golden retrievers, labs, wonderful animals being put to sleep because that period of holding them was up. And first of all, I know for a fact that when I took the job, my husband, at the time, he said to me, you won't last because nobody's ever lasted before because they can't take the stress of always having to put animals to sleep because it does weigh heavy on you. And so becoming the shelter that sees stuff, you know, like we have next Friday, we take 10 cats to Iowa State. So essentially they're going to do all the shots and the vaccinations too. So that's gravy money. I mean, that goes back into the fund, you know, and we're not putting anything out for that. So I guess I just kind of wanted to include that in there so you'd kind of know that part of it at least.
Sure. So I completely agree with everything you said, and I agree with what Laura said earlier. Nobody's suggesting that we want to go around putting the animals down. Nobody's saying that at all. But we do have a responsibility to provide, using taxpayer dollars to provide this service. And that means there is a limit. There is a limit on number of animals. Don't know what that is. We've never talked about it. But there is a limit. There is a limit on the amount of time that we would keep an animal. Don't know what that is. We've never talked about it. But you say, well, it's cheaper if you just want to talk money, dollars and cents, right? So the preference is always that we find a good home for these animals. But you just said it's cheaper to adopt them out than it is to euthanize them. And I would say I agree with that to a point. It's not cheaper if you're going to keep the animal for 13 months. It's not. It's cheaper in that moment, absolutely. But I'm not suggesting that we solely make decisions on dollars and cents. What I'm suggesting is I'm seeing a pattern of growth and a pattern of uncertainty as to what our mission is and where our focus needs to be that is concerning to me, because if we let it get away from us. This is what I'm feeling with this building right now, Sue, is you are somebody who fills every nook and cranny. You fill it with animals, you fill it with blankets, you fill it with free food, you fill it with whatever. And that is not our role. It's not our job to have, it's not our job to have a bunch of cages out there, because someday there might be some kind of situation where Keith Morgan needs some cages. You know what? That's Keith Morgan's business to figure that out. That's why we have him on staff. It's not your job to maintain those things and keep them. But you're such a little C conservative. You conserve everything. We got to move past that, and we got to give you the tools needed to use these unbelievable strengths you have, but shore up some of the weaknesses you have. And I see that, and I've told you this, there's nothing out of school. On the administrative side is where I see some of those weaknesses. I really believe that having somebody who can do the paperwork, who can keep things straight out in the front office, not back where the animals are, keep things straight out there, get the doors open, get the phone answered, get calls returned, do the checks on people when they make an application to get the animal. Those are the places that I see us hurting in. Those are the places that I see our bottlenecks, where we stop getting animals out the door, where we stop moving on. And I see you make a request here that says you want to throw more of the same at this issue that I think we have. And I'm just pushing back against that. I don't want to throw more of the same. I want to try to change some of the bottleneck areas that I'm seeing out there.
And I understand that. I've always just been a very hands-on person with all parts of it. I mean, I work holidays just like the...
Absolutely.
I mean, I just... And that's... It's hard to get away from when you're like that. That's how you are, you know. And you think, okay, this food's donated, and, you know, we do give a lot of our donated food away. We have to, because we get so much in donations. I mean, who says that for an animal shelter? There's other animal shelters crying out there that they have no support, and we're like, come and get 1,000 pounds of cat food that Fairway donated to us, because we can't use it all, you know.
Sure.
But
I think of your blanket room, Sue, what I call the blanket room.
Yeah, the laundry room.
You got blankets in there you will never, ever, 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 ever use.
But we throw a lot of them away.
Yeah.
We do.
Just that when you're with animals in that kind of environment, I think that the public would be surprised to hear how many towels and how many blankets are gone through because of, you've got animals at different stages of illness and sickness. But.
Right. And we do use a lot of them. And, you know, when they get ratty, we throw them away. But we do use a lot of them. And we need them. I mean, if we have something that comes in that has puppies, or we have an elderly animal, or
I'm all in that you need blankets. I'm all in that you need towels.
I know.
We got tons and tons and tons out there.
You know, if I'm sitting here and listening to it, I need to say, first of all, what you have done in now, what, 25 years?
Yep.
Okay. It's just a miracle.
It is.
What you have done, not only what you've done physically for the animals and what you've managed with things, okay, but the reputation you've built is just phenomenal. Okay. And you did that in part by being conservative and in part being so hands-on. And I empathize with you, because some days it's easier than others. Okay. So my thought is here, do we want to be careful, like on the blankets, that we don't micromanage? All right. And instead we talk about what, you know, coming back to what are the services that we can provide, you know, and what is it that we can do overall to help this move forward. And I know Deb and Liz have worked really hard on it. And maybe the time study, how close did you come to your 90 days of getting ahead?
We have 30 days worth of information.
Okay. All right. Just, you know, as we move forward here, then would the $13 per hour, Alyssa, would that be similar, whether it be an administrative person or it be an attendant?
They're pretty similar in cost, but I do want to, the cost that, there's a lot of unknowns. Number one, what step are you going to hire them at? Number two, are they going to take single or family insurance? So we build the highest cost for an FTE for this. For the animal control attendant, it's about $62,000 total cost. That's
okay.
That's salary, FICA, IPERS, and insurance benefits. So
bringing you back to that.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, the salary alone is probably anywhere from $32,000 to $35,000. But then all the extra taxes and the employer provided benefits.
What's an admin
system? An admin one. It's a little bit less, I think, than a shelter attendant. I'd have to go pull. I mean, I can go grab our pay scale too if you want me to.
Well, I just was looking.
I just don't have everything memorized.
Thank you for reminding me because of our benefits and things.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the benefits are almost as much as the salary, and that's just the nature of government, you know, what we provide our employees. So,
what do you think would be our ability to start with a part-time administrative person? Say mornings, we're talking about opening the shelter, getting some of those call adoption calls made, so that the staff attendance don't, or maybe it's the afternoon that we would need an administrative person most. That's when you're trying to send, make sure that the people who come in are not left alone with the animals and vice versa. And
if we were going to go with part-time, a 10 to 2 position would be really the best, because they'd be getting in there before we opened at 11 or 12 if it's Monday, and they would be able to work on stuff, plus everything that's coming in. That's our busiest time, is until 2 o'clock. But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking maybe I should go through and think, okay, without hurting our service, providing service to people in the county with that they expect and everything, you know, maybe I should sit down and talk to my staff and say, what can we take away that's not going to make or break us as a shelter? I mean, I'm willing to do something like that. I mean, I, after hearing $62,000, I have to tell you, I had no idea the benefit package. Yeah. I mean, I read
that's
my sheet every year.
That's family insurance. So, I mean, that's a way. I mean, but I don't want to, I wouldn't want to come to the board and say, hey, it's only going to cost $40,000, and then, you know, they choose that benefit, which they have that opportunity,
right,
and then it's an extra $20,000. So total cost of an employee is higher than what,
right,
most anybody would ever imagine when you look at all
right
of your other costs built into it. So,
and I think as far as volunteers, we have a lot of volunteers. A lot of them are Iowa State students. They're members of this large student helping rescue animals. We had just had a guy come in today that, you know, wants to walk dogs for us, and that's all good. My problem with the volunteers as far as waiting on people and everything is they don't, it takes a while you're working there to learn the right response. And I don't want to give somebody the wrong answer, and then, you know, later on they talk to somebody that works there and we're not telling them the same thing. That terrifies me, because I just want to make sure that people are getting the right information the first time. So, I mean, I'm willing to step back and look at this and see what we could do, if that helps. I mean, sit down and really have a conversation with the employees out there.
So just so we're clear, and we haven't heard from Marty yet, but my pushback, my pushback was not necessarily on the idea of a position. My pushback was that I don't feel like we got enough information here to be able to make a decision today, and I believe that our shortcomings out there, that the areas we really need to shore up, are more from an administrative perspective. Somebody who is really tracking the way that front office is working, somebody who is really tracking volunteerism and getting that information out there, somebody who's doing those things. I don't believe that we're short on animal caregivers. I think we ask too much of our animal caregivers, because we're asking them to do all these other things.
Right.
And I want our animal caregivers to be able to focus in. Now, so what I'm asking for is two things. I am asking you to get a little more focused on what your mission is and try to have an organization that really focuses in on that, because it feels a little helter-skelter to me right now. But I'm not asking you to go in and say, oh, my God, we got to cut this nickel out here and that nickel out there. We'll get to that here in just a minute, and I'll have a few of those. But I'm asking you to buy in with Deb and Alyssa that you're going to truly look at what's needed out there. I don't like the idea of a part-time position, because I think you get less than part-time work out of a part-time position.
I think we need full-time out there.
We get
better
quality individual. But if we can have somebody who is focused in on the things we need out there to free you and your staff up to do the stuff you do, that's where I think we're going to find the best bang for the buck. And then if it's costing us $60,000 a year to get it, it's $60,000 well spent to get all this stuff done. I just didn't think we had that in what you presented to us, and it's where you felt the pushback from me. And then I've been feeling, for the last 18 months, Sue, I've been feeling this creep out, you know, kind of this mission creep going on out there. And I'm using a couple things, right? The realities, so I think the sticker shock that we got from the renovation of the animal control, woke a lot of people up, and all of a sudden we're able to have this conversation. I think some recent staff changes at Story County from a facilities perspective is going to allow us to have some real conversations about how we manage that facility and what we do with it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you managing that facility is not the right way for us to go. It's just not. You need to be managing our animal control, and that's the facility that we use. Morris was mentioning that we don't want to micromanage the blankets. You're dang straight. We don't want to micromanage the blankets. But we want to have somebody watching out for things out there that's in there on a regular basis that can say, what are you talking about? We got all these blankets. Mm-hmm. Right? Those are the kind of things that I want to see us get to, and I think we can get there pretty rapidly. But don't take this entire conversation of, oh, my God, they want me to cut everything out. That's not what I'm saying. I want you to be able to get really focused in on what the mission is out there. You're the director. You should be the one to really help set that and get focused in. And if there's questions, if there's places you're unsure, then the board needs to have that conversation, and you need to get really clear on what the expectations of you are. And then you need to go run with it, and we need to give you the support and the tools to get that done. Okay? Marty?
All right. Listen to the whole thing. Here's what I got. Hear me out. What I have found in a year and a half in talking to people that use your services and what I have watched you operate, I can't see where a voice and a face for your facility would not be a good thing. Somebody that when the phone rings, it's a live body. When somebody walks in, it's a live body. You operate on what I call a Ghostbusters model for the fact that you go on a moment's notice to God knows what, but you also need a presence in there to answer the phone, to talk to the people. And I get it, we're 10 to 2, and that's what I've seen, is you're busy, and I think you need to staff accordingly on the heavy side to that, or you taper on the back side. You have built up a tremendous, I tell you what, it is just jaw-dropping to go in there and see what you get for free. I just have no idea. You drive by this building and you don't realize what's going on in there. You don't realize even what's in there. To that end, my question is, with the support you have and the outreach and goodwill you've generated, I would think that at some point, hearing all this, you would be wanting to turn to that group saying, I need this kind of help. Mm-hmm. And walking dogs may not just be it. I would like you to come in here. If you really care about these animals to the point we don't euthanize, would you help me clean the place? Or would you help me do that which would allow me to go out and save another animal? Or be sort of, take your mission to the community, because that's what you do. What we're doing in our shelter, that is the residue of what you do. And my other point would be, are we doing all we can to move our animals through? Is there any way, that we seem to have firewalled the exit? Is there anything that we can do on a formalization basis that we're moving animals into another setting? As we take them in as people, they're not, I think we have built ourselves into an organization that is seen as the organization of first choice, hence the problems we have. But is there a way that we can be the conduit to which we push off into other places these animals as we have the ability to, knowing that we're likely, the phone's going to ring, somebody's going to show up, and you're going to bring more?
Well, and I will tell you one thing that pigeonholed us this year is surrounding shelters, including the ARL, the Boone Humane Society, are giving away free animals. They're giving them to anybody. You don't have to fill out an application. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to do anything. Or they'll have two for $5. Or get one for $10 and get one free. I mean, it's like we're at Target, okay? And I don't think that's any way to operate an animal shelter at all. I don't think so. Because
That would depend, wouldn't it, Sue? If the animals are going to crappy homes, then it's a terrible way to operate the shelter. But our goal is not, look at your revenue page. You're not making any money. So I don't care whether they're paying us $100 or nothing. If that animal is going to a good home, that's our responsibility. And if our adoption fee is stopping a good home from taking one of those animals, then we need to not have an adoption. I'm just giving you my opinion right now.
I know.
That adoption fee is meaningless to us.
I know.
When
the problem
look
is,
at
though,
what the cost is and what our goal is.
The problem is, though, is a good home is not going to have a problem paying $30 for a cat. the people that come in, I've seen it, the people that come in that say, do you have free animals? Okay. Without sounding cruel, they are having a hard time surviving. They're the ones that will come in and say, do you have any dog food you can give me? I ran out. Okay, so we're not helping a cause by sending things out in that capacity. I think even though it's only $30 or $35, I believe that's ownership in some small way.
So I agree with you to a point, but here's the problem. So I can go pay $35 or $50 or whatever, but if I want to go get a dog and you've got one and I've got to pay $50 and they've got one and I don't have to pay anything, it doesn't matter that I can pay $50. Where do you think I'm going? I'm not dumb. Right? And so if the market in the area, and I'm not suggesting that we back off one iota in digging in to find out if this will be a good home or not. I'm not suggesting that you put a revolving door in and we just let animals walk out the door. Not for a second am I suggesting
because
that.
I've seen them in the aftermath.
Absolutely. I'm not suggesting that for a second. We do our due diligence. But if, I just heard you tell me that one of the problems we got into is some of these other places are giving them away. If that's a problem, we need to deal with that, because if we're losing getting animals adopted to good homes because of our adoption fee, then we need to dig in and change our adoption fee, and that's all I'm pushing back on right there.
So you would be amenable then to us maybe when we get full?
We need to get animals in our full.
Well, we're way down. So we have a lot of empty cages now, which
I think it's percentages of 100. You know. Okay, we're not at 165%. We're at 110%.
Right.
But that's still...
But what I'm saying is you know, I wouldn't want this to be the norm. I wouldn't want it to be all the time. But when we get to a point where we feel like we need to have animals go, then do we just say... This week is, you know, after you're approved, it's free adoption on a dog or cat. I mean, are you okay with that? Can we do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I understand it, the board needs to set all fees, right? But I think that's a completely reasonable request for you to make to the board of, hey, we're starting to bump up against capacity. We got to move some animals on.
Okay.
And then we declare the month of February adopt a cat month or whatever. And we waive whatever we need to waive.
Another way to approach this is maybe in the longer term, certainly to kind of get some more animals moved, you know, to say, yeah, February is adopt a cat, love a cat month, or you know, whatever.
Right.
But if maybe then we set a policy at the board that we will allow you to decide when it's appropriate to waive a fee, and we start publicizing that as our everyday policy, that, you know, please pay what you can to help us if you can afford our fee, but if not, we still would like to make sure that you find the animal that is a good match for you. I mean, you're right. It requires a little work with maybe Leanne Carter to do some promo or whatever. But to long term, so that we have people moving in a regular basis to come and look at animals, even if economically they're not going to pay. It's a thought for, but yours is good. I think great to get started on it, but then we start to promote.
Yeah, so today is not the time to have this whole conversation on that.
Okay.
No, absolutely. But it's a conversation worth having. My point was, it was simply that you said one of our problems was some of these. Our mission has to be. I mean, if you guys see it as different than this, tell me. Has to be to find our animals good homes as quickly as possible.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's that simple. And in the meantime, we've got to care for them. We got to get them ready. We got to do all the things we got to do.
Right.
But our mission is to get them out the door into a good, loving family. We don't want them in our place.
Right.
Okay? And when we find barriers to getting them to good homes, we overcome those barriers. I think one of our barriers is, I think it's too dang hard to go through the application process with our shelter right now. I keep hearing anecdotes of it's difficult. You don't get a call back. You try to call you, and it's all that administrative thing that I worry about that I'm thinking we can start to take care of on that side of things. Okay? Now, we've got another meeting in 7 minutes, so let's go. Okay, and we can do a callback. We can come back. I've got a few areas on expenses that we've got to talk about.
Okay.
So we're going to skip all the way down to employees' insurance. I believe that equipment, parts, and supplies is a facilities issue. I don't think it's an animal control issue.
That's from facilities.
Yeah, I do.
So they want that in animal control.
It's the funding. It's the Fund 11.
Okay.
It needs to be in the rural, right?
I had that question.
That's how we do it.
But facilities is going to administer that 43.
Facilities.
They're going to decide where those dollars are spent. That's just money we're bringing in, to, and it's going to be used for the animal control building, but facilities is the one that's going to administer it.
Yeah,
that takes care of it for me. Okay. Vehicle fuels and maintenance, I think it's $1,600. You're $712, 50% of the way through the year. You were at $1,500 last year. You were at $1,400 the year before that.
Is it just me, or I felt like gas prices were increasing?
Yeah.
I wondered about the tires. Would the tires increase that? That was my question of the increase.
Before this year is over, we will get new tires.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, because you've got it in that narrative for tires, so you're not going to take it out of FY19.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to make these tires.
Right.
You know,
right. That was why I'm not suggesting we lower the 2,000 in FY18. But we're not going to buy new tires again, we hope, in 2019.
Okay.
Which is why I'd like to take that 1,600. Uniforms and equipment, I'd like to take down to 1,000. You got it in at 1,200. You've only spent over 1,000 once.
I know.
You've only spent $176 so far this year. We want you guys to have the gear you need.
Well, the $176, we wait for the spring sales.
Okay.
So
but
I don't buy stuff for winter when it's coming out in the winter. You know, I wait until spring.
But you were $1,000 a year before. You were $825 the year before that.
And again, I won't spend it if we don't have to. So
$1,000.
And Scoop, we do not provide really any uniforms, correct? This is all, when I looked at the list.
This is outdoor gear.
Yeah.
We used to wear regular badges and nameplates and all that stuff. It's much more public friendly to be doing what we're doing now.
Okay, got it. Thank you. So we lowered that for next year to we kept it 1,200.
I'd say it's 1,000 and 1,000 is what I'd say it is.
Okay, thank you.
Animal supplies.
And
we
you
will
push back now, if you, Morris, if you hear something that you don't think is right, I'm just kind of running through this.
Because my only question was the uniforms, and Sue gave me the answer I needed.
Okay. I think we do it for 1,000. I think 1,000 is a reasonable thing. We're comfortable on communication services. My only concern there was we're a little above $2,200. We're pushing, if this is truly 50% of the way through the year, we're pushing $2,400. That's top of page 9.
Yeah. And that was because of the extra line that got added.
Yeah, and I just
stuff.
Want to make sure we got the right number.
I still think 22 we'd be fine.
Okay. All right. Utility?
I would like to talk about education and training.
Okay,
all
talk
right.
about it. Yep.
So, Sue, would you like to get your staff some more education and training? I know, like, the Humane Society of Iowa. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm a personal member of
right.
that. So, gone to First Aid, okay, a couple times, and they have some discussions. Would you like to send some of your staff to, I know, given that your shelter's covered, that there are some training, like first aid training for animals, that type of thing?
And there are. I mean, we don't do, other than euthanizing or doing simple wound dressing or whatever, we don't do a lot of first aid for animals. Mostly because if we have a dog that's hit on the highway and it's got an owner and we do something wrong and it makes it worse and the owner, you know, we don't want, yeah, says to us, hey, my dog, you know, the vet said my dog, if you'd have left it there, it would have been better. So we don't try to do that.
What
we did for a while, and they were very helpful, believe it or not, is I got DVDs of different people. Animal training, working with difficult dogs, working with situations involving neglect or cruelty, you know, stuff like that. And those I thought were good because then we still have them and we can go back and reference them if we need to. So it was something I feel like we were buying into.
And along with that, then another one, I'm thinking about what I went to, had to do with disaster relocation, you know, clearing the shelter out in disaster. Is that something you would like to go to or something? I mean, you know, to add a little more, I think we paid $150 to go
Well, I feel like we've kind of ironed that out between the Red Cross and working with Keith.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we've got our people we call if there'd be an emergency that are set up to take livestock that would house animals for us.
Okay. I'll drop it then.
No, I just, offer. You know, I appreciate that.
On page 10 in your narrative under education and training, you've mentioned we'll be adding a class this year. Is that a class for staff or a class for the public?
We were hoping to maybe be able to, like, kind of like the kennel club dog training. Shelter pets sometimes go home, they have issues. Sometimes it's the people that have the issues. But have, like, you know, an open training thing where somebody would pay, like, $10 to a lesson to come. And we have plenty of people who are experienced dog handlers and trainers who would do it for us and not charge us. And it was going to be another way I was looking at revenue. And it's not a lot of revenue, but it also takes care of helping people deal with problem animals.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I understand. I'm not opposed to revenue. I don't want to get caught up in the we're chasing $5,000 and we're spending $30,000 to get the $5,000.
Right.
Thank you.
Good. All right, so I had utilities as a question because I don't see how we're getting to $13,500.
Well, right now I have minimal heat on in the east part just because we're not using it.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm assuming the heating and cooling over there over the course of a year would be an extra.
I mean, we're going to have new heating and cooling. I mean, the one thing I heard is we're kind of gutting the HVAC of that.
But at the time I wrote this budget, I had no idea.
Okay.
Of
so
that.
I'm just asking if we can plug in 11,000.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I was going by thinking that we were keeping what we had. So okay.
Yeah, if I've learned one thing, it's probably that we're not getting to keep a lot of the mechanical in that building.
He wasn't built to do it. No, we were
right. That's all I have.
I want to talk about you've got $100,000 in the current year for buildings and equipment.
Yep.
Are we assuming it's not going to happen this year and most of that all in next year?
I think it depends. No, I'd like to leave that $100,000 right there, and we'll see what we get back from. It's up to you guys. I mean, we're going to get something back sooner rather than later. You said we just got it, and then we're going to have to make some decisions for that. So I do want to point this out, and this does not have as much to do with the animal control building as it does an educational opportunity for us as a board. We were paying $31,000 a year to rent this building. So now we're not paying $31,000 a year to rent this building, but we just plug $43,000 a year in to maintain this building. That doesn't count the renovations that we're going to talk about doing, the $300,000 in renovations, right? Remember, the next time, we're dealing with a couple buildings right now, right? We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the game shape. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with the pole vault. We're trying to figure out some of these things. It's important to recognize that getting out from under a rent payment is not always the best course of action.
Now,
and in this case, it wasn't anywhere close to the shop.
Well, but you have to understand, too, that I'm assuming that there's a couple one-time purchases in there, like the installation of keyless entry and cameras.
Yeah, but there'll be some ongoing costs. And my point was simply there's cost of ownership, especially when you're Story County, and when you own things, you do it the right way.
But we only had half of the building then, too, right?
Last year
we had the full building.
Oh,
right.
Anything else for Sue? So, probably not the best, not the most pleasant conversation we've ever had.
This is probably the worst board budget session I've ever had in 25 years.
You're phenomenal. You're doing a phenomenal job. We've got to get this thing right for you.
Well, and I think one thing I want to say too is when people aren't getting what they want for an animal, there's a reason. Is it, you know, give us your landlord's name and address. Are you allowed to have a pet here? Yes. Call the landlord. No. Okay?
Sure.
So,
oh, yeah.
We turn people down, you know, because part of the other thing is we enforce the rabies law in Iowa because it's required. If you're taking one of our animals home and you've never had your animals to the vet, you're not going to be enforcing the law that we're trying to. You're not going to be doing what we're trying to enforce. okay? Other shelters don't call landlords, but we've had the landlords, Hunziker and all these other Triplet and all these other places say, thank you for calling us, because we don't want to walk in at the end of the year and find out that they weren't supposed to have three cats and they have completely trashed the carpet and,
yeah, so let's,
you know,
just be entirely clear here, because I'm feeling you get a little defensive over this.
Oh, well, I'm
not, absolutely, not even a critique. I just want to make sure that you and I are clear, Sue. I am not questioning for a second your desire and ability to really screen applicants, to really try to make sure that before one of these animals goes out the door with somebody, that that's the right person for them to go with. I'm not questioning that at all. What I do question is, the ones that bother me are the people that don't ever get a call back. The times that phone rings and rings and rings and it's not answered. Those are the kind of things that I think we can fairly easily take care of. Those are the kind of things that I think if we take care of them, it's going to help us so much more on the back end. But don't you take this for one second as a critique on how much you care about the animals or how hard you work to make sure that when they leave the door, they're going to a good home.
Right.
Not for a second. If you take this as a critique on some of our administrative stuff, that's probably fair. Well, that's more than probably fair. That's completely
But our
fair.
Double phone line now.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're getting that there. We're making progress. We need to make more progress.
Lots of, I feel like, because now we're seeing, after we first got it put in, how much the phone really was ringing with one line, because we're getting those two calls at the same time.
Absolutely.
So I think that's rectified a lot of it, you know. And as for people not getting calls back, you know, we call them back. We tell them it's going to take 2 to 3 working days, okay? But they come in and they want to be able to walk in and walk out with an animal. And as part of our, you know, procedure, that's not what we do. And, you know, sometimes it's funny because people will come in and say, you know, or they'll call us the next day and say, you know what, I'm in a bad place right now. Getting a cat is not a good idea for me. I think it's a good idea if I wait. Whereas if we just sent it out the door with them, it would have been a spur-of-the-moment thing, and they would have
been
bringing
it
back.
I think it ought to be a rule. I think it ought to be a rule everywhere. I'm glad we do it that way. I hate the idea of somebody seeing a cute little puppy in the window and they go home with it. That's the worst situation ever. Again, 24-hour waiting period before you buy a hand puppy. Not for a second am I worried about that. But I think we can all agree, I mean, even you know you've got an itch that you can't quite scratch, and you're trying to scratch it by having another person do what you do. And where I'm pushing back is I'm saying, you do a phenomenal job. Your staff does a phenomenal job doing what you guys are good at. We need to shore up some of the areas that maybe you guys aren't so good at. That's where you're getting the pushback from me.
Right.
And it's fair if you feel that, but it's not fair if you feel some of this other stuff.
No, okay. I know. And maybe that's true. Maybe, you know, I took what you guys, you know, we had a good conversation, and I took what you said to heart. And I think at that point, you know, for me, I'm just trying to think of, we want to continue to get better. You know, we don't want to go backwards. We always want to continue to do better. But I think one of the things I need to look at, too, is this has kind of been a realization that I need to look at. We are a smaller shelter. We're not the ARL. We can't provide everything they do. We don't have 40 people working there. We don't have 40 volunteers coming in every day that have been volunteers for 20 years. We don't have any of that. So what we're trying to accomplish is build up a shelter that is positive and successful. And we've gotten there. I feel like we've gotten there. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm open to this. Sometimes it takes another person to, you know.
Well, I was hoping that this conversation today was going to help get us down the road a little further. I feel like we have. I feel like we're in a good spot trying to go forward from here. And now we just got to dig in and figure out exactly what it looks like.
So can I have February adopt a cat? Can I move forward with this? I mean, I will tell you, a long time ago, I was told we always have to get money for our animals, and I've operated under that pretense for 25 years.
So I would say this, my perspective, and then Loris and Marty can weigh in, and then we need to be ready
I'm sorry.
Conversation.
Yes.
Don't you apologize.
For a second. My perspective is, if you think something can help you in the animal shelter, you bring it forward to us.
Okay.
The only stipulation is you got to bring it to us on a Tuesday morning. It's got to be on our agenda.
Right.
Deb can help you
Right. Yeah.
So that's a Thursday afternoon by 3 p.m. You got to have that. You got to have that done.
Yeah.
There's probably still time if you want to get
it on
our
agenda right
for Tuesday.
There.
And yeah, then let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else for us? That's right.
No, I just want to end by your willingness over the last year to listen, to think for you, and always concentrating on what's best for the animal.
We'll talk about the position later.
I want you to remember that, okay?
Yep.
Very willing person to do what is good and best, and you have sacrificed a lot.
Yep. And I'm emotional because you just don't walk away from it without
me. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. You got your copy, James?
Mm-hmm. All right. We're here with the reporter, Stacy. Phenomenal budget. Thank you again. Anything you want to say before we start to dig into it?
No.
Okay. We're on revenues, hunting and fishing fees. First place I had.
And I can make a disclaimer.
Okay.
So I had an adjusting entry that was to be made on December 5th, taken into the treasurer, and it did not get made. Light item, hunting and fishing fees were increased by $60. They need to be lowered by $60, and that should go into snow fees. Snowmobile fees.
Perfect.
So that will lower.
That should be $28. If I lower what you brought in by 60, so that's 28.
And then you increase
snowmobile fees
by 60.
By 60, so we're at 500, and which gets us closer to where...
To the percentages,
exactly.
Yeah. So the snow user fees, that's what they are. They're trail passes, and that hunting and fishing fee kind of lumps in together with the LC fee. Anyway,
perfect.
It was an oversight.
That helped me. That's correction. Why I was confused when we were estimating 50 and we'd already brought in 88. That's
and I think, you know, when we do work on these budgets in November, it really helps us dig into what we spend and, oh, this doesn't look right.
And put this in the right line item. I did the same thing with the auditors for revenues.
Right. Right. So it happens.
Perfect.
It's good. Good review.
Same question on real estate transfer tax. We got $81,000 already in. Are we expecting that to slow down dramatically, or what's our plan?
You know, that's Jim and I always have this conversation that it seems to be lower, and then we'll get $1 million purchase or $3 million farm sale at the end of the year that boosts it up. So,
but we're ahead of schedule, right? So we're 50% through the year,
right?
And we brought in 61%. So unless we're seeing a reason that it's going to downturn, mm-hmm. then it just seems to me. That we can be pretty secure that
to
maybe it's not
going to
be 160, but it's going to be 150.
Right.
Do you think it will? Do you think we can get 150 in that one for the current year? I don't know why you couldn't.
I'd say let's go for it. Let's just increase it.
All right. So I'm suggesting 150 and 150 there.
So if we end up having to go out and collectively buy a piece of real
estate. Well, again, the revenue stuff is because we like to have some idea of where we're headed this year. And I think it's informative as we talk about why we get to what we get to for the next fiscal year.
Right. No.
I
agree. And if we had a crystal ball, as far as that's, it goes hand in hand with our recording fees.
Yeah.
We may not record 1,000 document or 1,000 documents a month, but we may exceed it. So it's hard to.
That was all I had on revenues, Marty or Laura.
No, I jumped in to see what the year over is, and it's just like, I echo you. Thank you.
We do. We do. And I just met with Leanne a little bit, and we really want to work on pushing the passport marketing in our office, the services we do. And I think having Leanne and, we have two agents.
Debbie.
Think about how much we made there from that camera. What was that, an $800 camera?
It was like six something. Yeah.
$35,000 in
fees. So that's on a per-person basis? Or you see a family come in, that's a real win?
Yeah. It's $25 per applicant.
I didn't get it, Marty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on. Exactly. The flat fee is a per-person and a job.
And
we're open 8 to 5, right?
Right.
For that, because I unfortunately did not know that when I got my passport several years ago.
Actually, passports we shut down at 4.
Oh, well.
Because we have to wrap them up and get them over to the post office before
we go. Okay,
and we didn't start doing it when you got yours.
Right.
So we just started doing it.
A couple years ago, I had a post office limit by appointment now, and it limits the hours.
And really, the post office in Ames is our best asset because they tell everyone when they call that we can't get you in for 3 weeks, but if you go over the to their office, they can do it all and no appointment necessary. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Good. Maybe that would make a good article for our story
again at some point. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Boys is always safe. So, we'll deal with the employee stuff as we always do. We actually start our negotiations with bargaining units tomorrow, and we'll see how everything. How everything shoots out there, we're going to, I believe the intent of the board is to do the same thing that we've done in the past, which is we'll budget the 100%, but we're only going to plug in the number of about 94%, I think is what we plugged in the last year.
95
this year, okay. Plug in 95, but similar kind of thing. So, two office supplies.
And materials.
And so I'm assuming by the $920 spent so far, you're one of those who waits until the end of the year to take care of office supplies?
Actually, no. We just purchased 5 stand-up desks.
Okay.
So that will
take care of
a lot of that. So
As of the end of this month, she will spend $2,600. So that's like $1,700.
Right, $1,700.
She's a bargain shopper.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Postage and mailing, I would just note that this is the, boat renewal year? You do that like every 3 years, and so that's the reason that we see a spike in this this year?
Right.
We have a note there.
We've got about close to 5,500 boats that we do renewals every 3 years. So, and it's the standard throughout the whole state. So they all come due the same day every 3 years. So,
thank you.
Communication is 1805 so far this year. I feel like that should be a pretty solid number where we could say we're going to be, we could go down to the dollar and say we're going to be 3610, but I'm suggesting 3700 there. Education and training. Stacey, I'm a huge fan of education and training, but it doesn't look to me like you've ever spent more than $2,000. It doesn't look like you're going to get more than $2,000 this year.
I'm lower that by 5.
Okay. 2,000 is what I was suggesting there. And then record management equipment, again, you're going to have to just talk me through. We're at 7,100 so far. What do you see in that?
Okay, so are you talking about the equipment rental or the records management?
Record management.
Okay, so records management, that is a dollar per document is put into that fund.
Right.
So every year we spent our real estate conversion, we spent $65,000. Okay. So the $7,137 I'm working on some, microfilm. Getting those images from microfilm pushed into our real estate system to push out to Iowa Land Records to get more information out to the public.
Okay.
So that's what I've budgeted for.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you feel like 19 for this year is solid, and you feel like 15 for next year is solid?
I do. We were working on 2 years with Advantage Companies right now, so I'm hoping that we can get another couple of years done. With this being our first conversion with the real estate, it's taken a little more time and a little more money to get that to flow into the to really show, and it hasn't worked yet, I guess that's a good way to say it. So it's work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I'm good with 15.
Laura Smart, questions or comments? You've made a real commitment to taking Eagle on this past spring. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going really well. I think the staff really transitioned well to it, and we are working on ways to, save money, not make as many copies. Push information out to the other real estate offices without walking the copy or, that type of thing. So I think it's going really good.
Well, how much did you spend on that? I guess I forget.
The 69 in records management, that line item, a good chunk of that was Eagle, plus the subscription fee. We were paying $4 per document 2 years ago. Now we pay a straight $16,923. So we're saving, you know, $30,000 a year by going to Eagle. So,
you recoup the cost of transfer.
Yeah. And plus that was records management fund. It wasn't, it was money that we had, that Sue and we have saved with that dollar per document. So yeah, things are good in the recorder's office.
And I believe I asked this last year, but I want to confirm, I still remember correctly, that some of these fees are out of your control, correct? In the state
Yeah. The Department of Natural Resources pretty much set the fees, and I think there's some legislation to kind of clean up some of those so we get equal fees for the same, the titles. We have different fee amounts that we get, $1.25 per time we go to the counter, so not much, but...
Well, I don't know. I did the math, and roughly $155,000 is where the difference is between expected revenue and expenses. So positive is good.
Well, I hear all the time what a positive experience coming to the recorder's office is. I mean, so, you know, governmental entities, we get a bad reputation sometimes for not serving the public. Mm-hmm. I just got to commend you guys on having an office that absolutely is customer-focused and really, really takes care of people. It's always a pleasure to get those kind of phone calls talking about what a great experience they had. So
thanks. And if you do get those, and by email, just send them our way so we can share them with our staff. So we really appreciate that, too. So.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Good. Anything else?
That's
great.
Thank you. I'm sorry. All right.